Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we continue where we left off, let's hear who we have at the table, players and characters. Hannah, will you begin?
Hello, my name is Hannah, and I am playing Winnie Hemlock.
Brennan?
Hi, I'm Brennan. I'm playing Arcos Gerard.
And Rob?
I'm Rob, playing Magnus Vale.
And I am Amelia Somm, your GM. And you all are reunited once again in the deep, dark undersea. You are standing, various stages of being soaked in water, catching your breath inside a stationary and temporarily, at the very least, immobile upper half of a submersible vessel. Your captain is nowhere to be found, seemingly having disappeared into the ether as soon as the ship wrecked. The water is weird. But you have fallen very, very far and very long. And this is more or less where you were intending to go. What now? As Carath moves about the ship, fixing up small leaks and doing a rough inventory of what supplies, food, and other things you have available, you're essentially sitting ducks.
I know I'm not exactly the prince of good decision-making, but, the fuck do we do now?
Is Magnus still complete? I imagine we haven't, short-rested or long-rested at all since we summoned the power of a Titan into our submarine.
No, we are picking back up immediately after, so you are still not feeling great.
Yeah, Magnus is trying to manually wring out his besotted wizard's jacket, after swimming in the cold, deep ocean.
It's briny. It's cold, cold, cold.
Is anybody got a match?
Sorry, Magnus. And I'm going to create some warm light.
Yeah, you can do so with light. It doesn't keep you as warm as perhaps a fire, but also you are in a very confined space with limited oxygen. You can breathe the water. You can't breathe the water without being in the ocean. So you get little warmth from the light that Arcos produces.
I'm afraid that's the best I can do. If somebody's going to light a fire underwater, it probably would be you, old friend.
I think that I'm going to be fairly useless for the foreseeable future. Is there any way we could cast light outside of the vessel and see if there's anything to see?
We should be at the bottom of the whirlpool somewhere.
Oh, sorry.
Craig, who has been, who was the one who helped guide you back toward the craft, kind of presses some buttons. You're basically on a sort of emergency reserve power, but it is more than enough to activate a light, an arcane sigil at the top that sort of shines in every direction and angles down. And you can see the lower craft still sinking. The lower part of the craft, I mean. You're pretty low. There's a little bit longer to get to the ground.
Hmm.
Well, I think the good news is we haven't died by losing pressure in the ship, which means either our environment is different than normal or there's something out there looking out for us.
If the pressure is lower, that would make me think that we're not as deep as we thought we were. So maybe there's some weird spatial magic that's going on. Maybe we're in a pocket dimension and we could actually surface to Mausolea?
Maybe.
When you say surface to Mausolea, that would imply a surface. Do we go deeper to be able... I'm just saying.
We're almost at the ground. Maybe we just wait till we hit it. See what happens. Because, like, yeah, surface, it's completely dark out there. That doesn't really exist as far as we can see.
Well, I'm in no position to argue with any plan of action, so any direction anybody wants to push us, I'm fine with that.
I think we should wait till we hit the ground.
I'm all for waiting at the moment.
And wait you do. It is a gentle fall. It'll probably take you 1 hour, I would say. You're moving pretty slowly. Unless anyone has anything that can speed it up.
We tried that once.
Yeah, I think slow and steady is gonna keep us alive. I wish I could burn power points to make enough light to warm us up, but seeing as I'm controlling all the power points we have left, I'm gonna reserve them, so I'm sorry, Magnus. It's gonna be a long hour, bud.
Magnus's log. Day 60.
It's cold as balls.
I'm so tired. I can't dry my clothes. Why did I only pack cotton?
Why did you only pack cotton?
You don't need to send the raven. We're all in the same room.
I don't think Magnus can even conjure the raven right now. I think he's just talking.
True.
Yeah, you most definitely are.
Magnus, have you considered writing this down instead of giving it verbally?
Arcos has started to criticize my logs. I can feel the tension in the submarine mounting day by day.
I can feel a mutiny coming on.
With our captain gone, we're not sure if we're going to be able to make it to our destination.
Magnus, remember many years ago, when you said if I was ever tempted to kill you, I'll give you one pass?
No.
We're getting close, buddy.
Okay.
Please tell me we're at the bottom of the ship.
Yeah, that conversation happens toward, I guess, the end of this, like, hour-ish time. And you all are jolted as, even as slowly as it is falling, the ship presses into the ground. with a vibration shaking through.
Land ho, I think.
I guess.
Everyone who wants to look at the outsides, make a notice check.
Whoop whoop.
Oof. Six.
Five.
Also, randomly, I have a damage marked here. Does anyone know what the fuck that's from and if that was at all recent?
I assume you took damage from the conduit stuff, yeah?
Okay. I mean...
It's been a while.
I don't remember that, but I believe you, so I just have never
you
marked
should.
Damage before.
I'm pretty sure I'm shaken.
Yeah.
I got 9.
Okay, so... With your success slash raise, those of you who got above a 4, you notice that the ground here, you know, there's sand and sediment that you would expect on the ocean floor. But there's also areas that are perhaps brushed away a bit where you can see, I would assume, stone. Magnus, with your additional raise, you see that, and you see an area a little farther off that definitely looks like there is something carved into the ground, fairly large, like a trench or a rut that has been scraped out.
It looks man-made.
Yeah. There, it's still filled with sediment, but you can kind of see, like, in the way where snow settles on something that has grooves, you can see an indentation. It's hard to make out what it might be at this distance. It's probably about, like, the lines that are carved are, like, 3 or 4 inches wide.
I see some carvings over there.
What kind of carvings? Is there a language?
I can't make it out from here. We'll have to swim over and see.
Yeah, I'll go.
Right behind you.
Do you think we should stick together in case it's weird or something?
Oh, it just got dry. I suppose we should all go.
And so you all make your way up through the, you know, drainage chamber, I guess, to outside. The ocean water is cold and it is dark, illuminated by the lights on top. Now just this one upper light on the top of the craft. As you make your way toward it, Magnus, go ahead. I guess this would be something that would probably be like history or occult related.
Okay. Roll an occult check. That's 9.
With a 9, you see these carvings and you sort of instinctively start swimming backward to get a better view. You're going to need more light to see, which... Arcos, if you wanted to provide, you easily could.
Providing.
With a 9, what you're looking at, you surmise to be a road. A very ornate one. You know, if you go into a city and, like, you go downtown, sometimes they have those brick roads with, like, patterns and things carved into it. That's what you see. And... can't quite read the language here. It'd be a little bit, it's not entirely unlike if you spoke Spanish, you'd be able to kind of get the gist of Latin. Pretty well, actually, but probably a little bit more removed. And you, with your study, would recognize something along the line of welcoming at. And a word you can assume is Mausolea, written in a different script, which you would know would happen sometimes for proper nouns having their own iconography.
Mm.
It says probably welcome to Mausolea, but you read it as welcoming at Mausolea.
Magnus is gonna like swim over to like the sign or the archway that says that and just like...
It is in the ground, like carved into the ground that you guys are standing on.
Excellent. So he's gonna just like swim over to it and then like sort of brush away the silt like underneath it to underline it, and then he's gonna sort of like lay down and like pose next to it and sort of point at it.
Yeah, you all see Magnus pointing at something in a language that, since none of you particularly study ancient magic texts, you probably don't have a chance to read.
I'm gonna just like give Magnus one of those looks of like what.
I'm gonna do like that kind of motion.
It's podcast here.
I'm moving my hand in like a circular motion.
Yeah.
Gesturing sort of vaguely to the area.
Yeah, this area.
Which, also to be clear, you probably can't specifically read the word mausolea, but like, what else is this gonna be?
Right.
Yeah. Magnus is going to write out in common mausolea in the silt so you guys can read it, maybe.
As the music swells that we've made it to the destination, I'm going to be like, can I materialize with my light spell a little light bulb above my head? Being like, sure. The show, gotcha, understand.
Have a light bulb's been invented in this universe?
Oh, that's a good point. Torch. I don't know. We're in a submarine, I guess. I was thinking like a light bulb, but maybe not.
Yeah.
You could do like a little arcane crystal that they have for lights.
Arcane crystal.
Yeah. I mean, there were searchlight sort of thing. You would know the equivalent of it.
That's fair.
I'm sure, you know what? It canonically has the same iconographic meaning for ideas.
Thank you very much.
So where does this road lead to? Does it lead to like a big obvious temple where there's a sealed god and or titan?
It is incredibly dark here. You can sort of, as you look around, you see small structures that might have been like sort of like the archway that you mentioned. There isn't a whole lot of very clear sort of directional indication. I mean, it did sink here, wherever here is. It has been thousands of years forgotten to time. And none of you really explicitly study sort of the layout of ancient cities and things. So your guess as to which direction you should go, I mean, it's carved into the earth and you're reading a sign that says, welcome.
We follow the road.
You follow the road
we
in the direction
the
as if you were an onlooker.
Road.
We sure do.
And you walk.
Or we swim.
You can also swim, yeah.
Well, like, unless gravity's weird, like, is it, like, almost like normal gravity, or do we have, like, buoyancy like we're in water still?
No, you're still in water, so you'd kind of be like doing that like sort of moonwalky thing you do at the bottom of the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but you're swimming. That makes sense. And you swim through crushed ruins of a city. There are areas where there are stone edifices overgrown with coral and algae and creatures. The first sign of life that you've seen since you've come down here. Nothing much bigger than a plant of some kind or whatever the fuck. Coral, I think, are technically animals, actually.
Yeah, they are.
I hate it.
They're like worms inside the coral.
Yeah. And there are spaces left empty and barren that you wonder, is that, you know, not everything was built out of stone, right? Some of these things could have been wood that would have deteriorated ages ago. Mm-hmm. Or was there something that happened in this crash that caused it to turn to dust? And you begin making your way to what you think is the center of a lost, quiet city that isn't entirely unlike some of the older portions of Rell. Different stone, not as fancy, I would say, though it is hard to tell as it has been sunk in a cursed ocean for God knows how long.
Literally, gods know how long.
Yeah. And you continue to walk. This is going to be a high check. I would accept any sort of nature, or if anyone has any skills that have to deal with, like, maybe history or, like, civilization.
I can do research or academics.
How do we not have nature? That's wild.
Oof. Guess I'll give you research.
Okay.
I got nothing.
I also got nothing.
I have nothing that applies to this.
7 on the research check.
Yeah. Damn, this is a cool city.
I was like, the closest thing is common knowledge. I'm like, well, this place has been completely erased from every
common knowledge. So uncommon knowledge.
Like, literally the least common knowledge in the universe.
Yeah, well, that's just, there's just some fun lore.
Can I do straight up smarts?
Oh, yeah, it'll be higher, but okay. You can go for smarts.
Yeah, I don't think I'll get it, but we'll try.
I'm going to put it up at, like, 2 additional raises, so that would be a 12.
I do love Arcos just trying to catch, like, a vibe of this this ancient civilization.
I got nothing, man.
I got 11.
Oh, no. Yeah, something about, you just...
It's a cool city, man.
It's a cool city, and yeah, there was just a thing carved into the ground that said "Welcome to Mausolea," and that's interesting because that's where you are.
That's where we need to go.
Is there any way, I could surmise some amount of information from using knowledge of religion?
I would say no in this particular instance.
Fair enough.
This is, and I cannot stress, it's just a fun little flavor thing. I don't think it'll have a huge thing, but it would be fun for you guys to know.
But we want to know. We want to hear your thoughts.
I want to know.
Better skills.
Well, Mark.
Literal skill issue.
Well, shit.
Brutal.
Yeah, as you guys are going through, you're just kind of in... the ruins of an ancient town. What sort of thing would you be looking for here?
Okay. I would know at this point that we're trying to deal, that we are dealing with titans. So I would look
for... Yeah, it's a pretty good assumption.
Yeah, so I'm going to look for anything regarding them, whether that's like a temple or a monument or anything, you know, to the like of that.
Yeah, go ahead, and I guess that'll be notice, unless you want to argue for something else.
No, I'm pretty good at notice. That's like my best thing.
I will be noticed.
Besides shooting arrow. 10?
Okay, yeah, 10. That's a raise. So with your 10, you do not speak this language at all. It's kind of, again, like maybe a derivative of a derivative where like some words have the same Proto-Indo-European roots.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're looking for is a temple, and you're looking for something connected to the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And something like that would be ideally like accessible to people, right? Like a temple. Yeah. Everyone needs to know where the temple is.
Center of town or something like that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not exactly in the center of town, but it is very clearly labeled because words that you assume either means temple or Titan or holy are often accompanied with these symbols and are made up of these symbols that appear to be sort of an artist's rendition of the elements. You can very clearly see one that is for fire, air, and what you assume are water and earth. And
gotcha.
It seems like a pretty reasonable assumption to be following that.
Right. So it's like all of them equally. There's not one that like is more over the other, more present than the others.
In this, in the way in which you're looking, which is specifically for some kind of a directional signage, whatever that word is in those symbols, it features all four.
Okay. All right, I'll move in that direction.
Great. Are you guys following Winnie, or are you looking for other things?
I definitely think it would be in character to also look for, to also look for like temples and something religious. So if I see Winnie like eyeballing something, I feel like I'd follow suit and follow behind immediately.
Yeah. What about Magnus?
I think Magnus would look for like signs of conflict and like signs of any sort of like battle, because this place was sunk into the ocean. You'd kind of expect there to be a lot of damage and like obvious scarring of the landscape from something dramatic and traumatic like that happening.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a notice check. If you want to argue for something else, you're welcome to.
I think notice makes sense.
Yeah.
It's an 8.
Okay. With an 8, you don't immediately see anything that is indicative of a large combat. Again, a lot of this is ruins. It's kind of like going up to like the Acropolis and being like, was there ever a war here? And I mean, there is a way to check, right? That if there were statues or things, it's pretty easy to tell whether something was destroyed or, you know, if an arm has fallen off, perhaps it fell off just due to time, versus the fact that the statue's even there at all indicates that it wasn't taken down prior. You don't immediately see any signs of conflict. There isn't a whole lot of specific evidence. But you do think perhaps you don't see an immediate conflict of a war because maybe there wasn't one. At least not one that was so visible. The town lies in ruins, but you presume if you shot a continent into the sea, that could happen. And that's another thing that I think occurs to you is that the stories, it says like, welcome to Mausolea. And the stories indicate an entire continent. And they attribute the name to Mausolea. So even if there were something, it could be possible maybe you are just in the one part that didn't hit it. Or, you know, maybe there was a war and everyone in here died and you wouldn't know because their bodies have long been ravaged by the sea.
Incredible. So like, it's interesting. So it says, welcome to Mausolea. Is that supposed to be like marking the border of the whole continent? Or is there also a city that is also called Mausolea and that the name of the continent was something else that we don't know? And so it's just kind of been like attributed from one to the other.
As you think this, I'm going to say that you're thinking this in character. Yeah. You now realize that, yeah, it's kind of hard to say what parts of it survived from an oral tradition. This could be the name of the continent. This could be the name of the city that just connected. Because again, there's a whole mountain range in between. Maybe this is the name of what was immediately on the other side. Is this the name of the mountains themselves, of the mountain pass? Could it be entirely unrelated? Maybe they just had different things thousands of years ago. You're now kind of aware of that.
Or maybe like continent itself is like not even the right word for it. But maybe it's more of like, maybe it was more like a peninsula, like a separate landmass.
Yeah, like maybe it was technically on a separate continental plate, but like, you know, you're here and the stories of it being sunk into the sea, but you're now realizing the nature of story is that it changes with each retelling.
Fascinating.
Leave it
to table talk real quick. Huh? The story that we got is that the rock titan threw Mausolea into the sea, right? That's the story we got, just to refresh my memory. Like, we didn't hear about any war or anything, right? And the spirit of Ulfair told me that they got angry and put, like, someone, you know, pushed it off or something. They said it to me in children's terms.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it is believed that our Kratos punished or did something that pushed Mausolea into the sea.
Right. And the spirit told me that they were mad at each other. He got mad and he did that.
Yeah.
I guess punishment implies that. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was done out of retribution, I guess would be a good way of putting that. However you want to define punishments, like, whatever. Right. But, like, yeah.
Right.
So who is the other party to the conflict? It was our Kratos was sunk by...
Our Kratos is the earth, the rock titan, the titan of the earth.
Right. Yeah.
Who is believed to have sunk Mausolea, which you have always referred to as a lost continent, into mm-hmm. the sea.
Gotcha.
As a punishment to Mausolea? Or to someone else? Something
it
else.
Was because they were upset.
Okay.
They were mad.
But we don't know why.
It was some kind of... It is implied, or it's been said, that, like, they were mad when they did it. So you kind of presume, I guess, maybe mad at Mausolea or mad at the people, because why else would you?
Right. Like, yeah, okay.
But, yeah, they're...
If someone's just throwing a temper tantrum and they throw a video game controller at the wall, it doesn't mean they're mad at the video game controller. It just means that they're throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah, maybe Mausolea is just an Xbox controller.
I think Magnus always sort of interpreted it as, like, a fight between titans, that, like, our Kratos was fighting with some other titan that was, like, more associated with Mausolea.
Yeah, because I figured that, like, water one.
Yeah, because I figured, like, what, like, who else would be of high enough stature besides, like, a god or a titan to, like, rile up our Kratos? But maybe he's just an angry bloke. Maybe he's just...
There's just this one individual guy who lived on Mausolea, and our Kratos is, like, fuck guy. You.
Timothy!
Definitely killed everyone.
Fucking hate that guy.
No. You guys are... I would not let you get this invested in theories that were entirely wrong, if that makes sense.
Right.
I just think it's funny that we're exploring the most mysterious, interesting place in history, or actually not in history anymore. And Magnus is like...
And on history.
What are the municipalities? Is this a municipality? Is this like an Australia thing where it's a country and a continent? Or is, like, is this like an island nation? Is that sank? Or what's this look? Is it metaphorically a continent? Or is it like a Eurasia thing where it's not a separate continent, but it was just considered...
What was their socioeconomic structure like? Do they have an elected leader?
What was their biggest export?
What is their GDP?
It's like, I gotta know.
I'm just trying to remember everything we know.
God, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we keep swimming towards a city center or temple or any sort of ruin, like ruins that stand
wherever
out.
Wherever the bending elements are taking me, I'm going there.
Yes.
I want to learn to be an airbender.
In a similar method to, I mentioned that Rel was a sort of like a walled-in city. This would be a pretty similar layout, which now that you've walked through there a bit more, a lot of this seems to sort of mirror what's going on in, it seems to sort of mirror the layout of Rel. But there's no really mention of worship or of the Titans in Rel, and not very much throughout Coira. It's more of like a kind of folksy, it's treated more as like a folksy religion sort of thing, where most people tend to put their focus on a specific deity or a spirit. And even that, the spirits is still a little bit more removed. But you make your way through. Everyone give me a notice check.
Ooh. I'm not doing very well today. 6 again.
Exploded.
Got an 11.
Oh, shit, math.
I can't see in this damn water.
That is a 13.
All right. You are swimming toward the rear center of the city. And at some point, you do, like I mentioned, the sort of moon, low gravity jump walks in the water. And because it's second nature, you can breathe underwater. It's swimming. It's not as apparent, I suppose, the difference in medium until Arcos, you're the first to realize that at some point you all just started walking.
Huh.
And moving through the water, it still feels like there's some sort of a medium there that's maybe thicker than air. You're breathing it, no problem. But it doesn't feel as active as when you can feel the water-breathing magic working. And you're walking through this city in the same way you've walked hundreds of miles together.
Whoa. Do you all notice that? Take a deep breath with me.
Nothing like a lung full of water.
Are we in water? You're walking. We're walking.
It does feel a bit lighter. Yes.
We are walking.
That's hard to remember exactly when you started.
I'm gonna check to see if I grew gills or something.
I thought you were checking your pulse to see if you died.
Also checking my pulse to see if I died. That would be very in character too. Oh no.
Yeah. Magnus is just gonna try to blow bubbles and see which way the bubbles
that
go.
Was also
like,
my
if there's
first
gonna
thought.
Be bubbles in the water if he sees them moving in any direction.
You start to blow bubbles and as you sort of breathe in and out, whatever this medium is, you realize it's not like there isn't air bubbles when you exhale. Whenever you were in the ocean, even with your water breathing, there was still a movement of things. It is just sort of an ether. And as you all point this out, you notice Julian sort of stop in his tracks. Kind of look around and sort of rummage through his bag for something. And you see him pull out this sort of metal flat ring, kind of like a very wide washer that has carvings in it and a few other things that they have a hinge on one edge kind of overlaying with each other. It's not something you've seen before, Magnus, as Julian fiddles with it for a moment.
Oh, what you got there, little magical trinket?
It's less magical and more, I guess it's kind of magical. It's reactive, and Julian kind of pulls it through the air, water, and looks at it like you look through a lens. And the curious look on his face. I think we crossed planes.
That would make sense. The whirlpool was sort of a gateway in the ocean. I sort of figured that we would get launched into some place that wasn't literally in the bottom of the ocean, because it would be pretty difficult for anything to survive down there.
So that leaves the question, which plane are we in?
I think No.
That's concerning.
Don't know if I like being there.
Cannot say I wanted to go to Nil today.
Well, there's a difference between being in, like, true Nil and then being in, like, some pocket of Nil that houses, and Maya sort of gestures around, like, its own sort of little mini world dimension. It's sort of a pocket within a pocket. Space within a space.
So...
I think the problem with Nil is eventually everything sort of bleeds into each other. If you're here too long, you might find yourself not leaving the same place you entered.
Is there any quantification about what too long would look like? Or if there's any way to track how long it's been?
Julian just kind of looks at you and sort of solemnly nods, turning their head in a no fashion.
Magnus, maybe, I don't know, an hourglass, so when the sand goes to the bottom, we gotta get out or something?
I mean, I can keep time for you if you want with an hourglass. I'm sure I've got one in my bag somewhere. I've got one of these pockets, but there's really no telling how long is safe to be in any sort of part of Nil, so we're gonna have to roll those dice, so to speak.
Oh, how I crave the world where things are a little more certain.
And you keep walking. And you find a temple. And as you walk through, it's one of the few buildings that has not been entirely destroyed. It's a very simple entryway, a small room. You make your way up large steps, a perfect square with beautiful columnar pillars carved with runes of long dead languages, depicting stories that you've heard an echo of shortly in your time. And as you step through and make your way through the entire building, the inside, your footsteps echoing for the first time since you've walked anywhere in this area. You see the back part of the temple where a wall should be, entirely open. And there are two on the left, two on the right, identical buildings down a long garden path. Well, almost identical. Three of them look perfectly intact, each one housing a carving depicting the rune name of a different titan. And where the fourth should be, far back left of where you stand, is a crater, deep and dark.
What did these people do to deserve that?
So, one of the titans got destroyed by the others? Or maybe died in the process? Which titan?
Yeah, I'm immediately moving forward to see which one it is.
You move forward. As you move forward and look, you can see very clearly carved on each of the buildings the sign for Arcratos, Autoros, and Aphtos, meaning Alemnos, the titan of fire. Sundered. You approach the crater. You look over. Do you look over the edge?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And is the abyss going to stare back into me?
You see Cthulhu.
tentacles.
No, you look through and you see another deep pit. But you feel at the bottom of this warmth. Just ever so slightly. And a very faint echo of a hum of a red glow.
I'm going to just very, very gingerly, very delicately, just touch the side of the crater.
You do. And you feel the coarse rock. How long do you hold your hand there?
For a while. It's all coming full circle, lads. It's all coming full circle. Don't you see?
This makes sense because the volcanoes.
Yes, the volcano!
I'm storing power underneath the earth, and then Alumnos is like sick or corrupted, and so the fire is like also corrupted, spreading this disease. It's all coming together, folks.
We just need to take a titan to therapy, that's all. That's it.
What is your parry?
My, oh god, okay. I think it's high. Five.
Okay. As you begin to pull your hand away, you feel the rock around it crush on top of it.
Wait, like on top of my hand?
Yeah, it like folds around, like enveloping your hand. Like imagine if you were to just take like a giant gloved mitt and like grab your hand, except that gloved mitt was made out of rock.
Gotcha.
So you're like waffle style holding hands with the bottom of the ocean. Yeah. That's terrible. That's with terrifying.
With the ruins of the temple of what used to be the fire titan. Yeah.
Does 9 beat your toughness?
It does. My toughness is 7.
Okay.
Wait. You're. My toughness might be 10, actually.
That makes a big difference.
Armor. Would I be wearing my armor?
I don't know. Would you be? Would you have put on your armor before you went to explore the creepy city?
Oh, I don't
know. At the bottom of the ocean?
I want to say yes, but that's not...
That seems like a reasonable thing.
Yeah, but it's not conducive to swimming.
That's true.
It's great for sinking, though.
True. You know what? That's true. I'm trying to stay... I'm going to say yes, because we are going to a mysterious city, and I think Winnie is smarter than that, than to not wear armor.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does not.
You feel, as you begin to pull your hand away, the earth come out in a grasp, entirely enveloping your, up to your wrist in somewhat warm, still not hot, rock. And you are just able to pull out of it and shake yourself free, taking a few steps backward to catch yourself. What do you do now?
Well, someone's angry.
Since we're like in pseudo not air, do we have time to like rest and try to get some strength back before we go even deeper?
We did wait for an hour on the ship for it to sink.
Yeah.
We have to go deeper.
I don't know about that.
I just wanted to say that.
Could I shine some light down into there? I don't know. I don't know if the old light and dark domain works in Nil as much, but can we give the old college a try to see if I can throw some light down the crater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you take a burst of light. You can cast it on like a nearby rock. Okay. Toss it down the crater, and do you lean over and look?
Yeah, I want to see like the how far the light goes down.
You see it go down and down and down, and I don't know how focused you would be on the light, as it goes down, you see the edges of the crater begin to shift and move, and these rock creatures are now forming out of the side and slowly climbing their way to the top. And at some point, your light is enveloped in sort of the haze of smoke at the end. Go ahead and give me... None of you have nature. I guess this would be common knowledge. I'll let you roll common knowledge on this one.
All of us?
Woo-wee.
Just Arcos on this one. Okay. I think he'll probably get it.
On the scale question, on a scale of 1 to rock homunculi from earlier, how cute are the rock creatures?
It is hard to tell. They are larger and they look more angry.
Man, fuck me, man. Robbie muted, and I'm just a little guy.
How scary could it possibly be to see creatures form out of the rock wall at the bottom of the pit of the bottom of the ocean in the ruins of an ancient civilization?
I have a hunch.
Mildly terrifying.
That is an 8. We got 4 on each die.
With an 8, you're looking to see if this light will hit the bottom. And it's lost in like a haze of smoke before it does. You do notice there is light at the, like a very slight glow coming from the bottom of this. You can imagine that light comes from some sort of fire magma situation that, well, you don't know exactly how deep it is. You are pretty certain you know what the bottom of this pit is filled with.
Cool. That's useful. Thank you for that.
Huh. Can I, really quick, I guess it doesn't have to be that quick, go over to one of the other houses and take a quick look inside? One of the not-destroyed ones?
Since you're taking a quick look, give me a notice check.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's double sixes. Let's fucking go.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Great.
That's another 6.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, 18. 26. 26 notice.
Okay. With a 26, which one, I will say you can get to whichever one you want if you want to go to a specific one. If you don't, that's fine.
I will go to, Is Aftos the wind one?
Aftos is wind.
Okay.
Yes.
Since that's the most neutral party here, I'm going to go to that one.
I
love your read on that situation so much.
I think Magnus is going to go to our Kratos, since that seems to be our protag / villain of this story. It's unclear. Yeah. I mean, it seems like. So just so I'm remembering, so Alemnos is fire, but also like destruction, right? And our Kratos is earth, but also like the birth of like the land, right? Like he's sort of connotations with some, but also the water titan who is
Altauros
is like the birth of creation, right? Like they're associated with creation.
Yeah.
So the titan associated with land potentially cast down or destroyed the Titan of Destruction and trapped them beneath the domain of the Titan of Creation. I don't know what that means, but that's metal as fuck.
Yeah.
But I want to see if I can read anything in Arcratus' temple about why he was so mad or they were so mad about
it. I just want to see what... I have a hunch. I just want to see if it's true. So I just want to... Okay. See what's in the other temple.
It's always the quiet one that stirs the drama.
Yeah.
There's four. One's a crater. What?
Yes, there's four. One of them is destroyed. Three of them are still there.
Which is, I'm sorry.
The one that's not taken is a Tauros, which is water. If you guys all want to split up and go to a different temple, if that's the vibes.
Thank you. I'm so sorry, Arturo.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
We hung out early. We hung out last episode. I was like, hey!
Yeah. For plot reasons, I am going to say Askarath will accompany you, Arkos. Julian will accompany you, Magnus, and Craig will accompany you, Winnie.
Do you have your exit buddy?
Everyone has their field trip buddy. Okay. I'm going to sort of describe these to you in bulk because the temples themselves are fairly similar. Each one has a relief carving that, despite the passage of time, has been pretty unlike the outer parts of the city, which seemed ravaged as if they had been underneath the ocean for a long time. These seem pristine and entirely intact. I mentioned that Nil sort of bleeds in and out from one place to another, and you can draw what conclusions you may there. The relief carvings are similar to what you mentioned, Rob. The one of Arkratos you can see depicts the shaping and movements of the land, and eventually moving into caves, and then eventually settlements and buildings and carvings and rocks. Aphdos, you see the depiction of wind and then the sky, and it is very astral and beautiful, and the connection of the plains and the ether. Tauros, you see the formation of oceans, and then rain, and then rivers, and life, and plants, and eventually the humanoid creatures we see in creation.
Cool.
There is a large tome in each one. You have no way of knowing, but I will tell you that they are all different. It is immovable from where it stands, where a book would normally have two hard covers. These are very large stones fixing either side. If you want to attempt to even lift up a single cover and see what it says, you may. It will be very difficult.
Hell yeah, I'm doing it. I won't get it. I'm going to try. I got...
Do we just roll strength for this?
Yep, just strength.
I got snake eyes.
Strength at a D4.
Okay. That's a critical failure.
Okay, well,
drops on the
noted. Flip.
I am a forest giant. We got a 10 to strength. That's the wrong die. Oh, here we go.
I might die now, guys.
You die immediately.
Probably.
Benny's dead.
I'm gonna.
Aphdos said, "Don't touch my shit."
Benny on that one. Maybe not worth the Benny, but I can't be this weak.
Just by the way, if you do roll snake eyes, you cannot use a Benny on it.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah, I got a 1 and a 3.
Oh, okay.
With a D10 and a D6, and we're gonna.
Dear God.
Jeez Louise. Oh, wait, never. Okay, got a 1 on the 10, but the 6 exploded. So we're at 7 in a reroll.
Gonna need more than 7. You're gonna need a lot more. It's a heavy book.
It's an 11.
Okay.
How the balls did I roll a 1 at a D10?
I will give you the fact that Askarath is with you, and Askarath is strong as hell, and dealt in heavy rock underground actually is kind of their whole thing.
That's true. And they are also 1 inch taller than me.
Yeah.
It's and, that extra leverage that really helps.
Yeah, the extra inch really just gives you the leverage you need. Askarath also rolled an 11. So you are able to pick it up one side briefly. You don't know the language this is written in. So you can't see the cover, but what you do see is a weird sort of shape of a center with, I guess, It could be an object, it could be a map that has two narrow things coming out of it that then branch into many things. In the way, it doesn't look like a tree, but in the way like a tree trunk can branch off into multiple branches, except it's a sort of, it's a weird kind of a shape. And then it slams back down.
Askarath, you are used to dealing with ancient cryptic symbolism. What was that?
I'm gonna roll something for Askarath. Snake eyes.
Incredible. Jeez, God. The Titans do not want us to know about them.
No. We're killing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Askarath just says, I have absolutely no idea. This is far beyond me. And with those snake eyes, because it's not as fun to give Askarath bad plot consequences because she's an NPC, yeah. I'm just going to say that Askarath will not be able to help you make any useful roles toward figuring this out going forward.
When you say it was like a tree-like shape, but weird...
It wasn't a tree. It was like a mass that has two things coming out of it that are then branching out into many other things.
Got it.
Oh, so
was that on the page or was that a physical thing in the book?
That was on the cover of the book.
Okay.
On the outer front cover, you presume, if you were reading this the right way, which you're pretty confident about that.
Hmm.
You know...
Light, only Arcos dark. Was able to actually lift up.
Right, I just stone for my book. Own record.
Oh yeah, yeah. You'll share this information eventually. I assume you're not trying to keep secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna see if I could roll for it. But I don't know, man. Light, dark, smash, and heal, and I'm not really getting much in the old skill repertoire for this, but. What are the chances maybe some arcane?
For what?
To figure out what the tree thing might mean.
Yeah, go ahead and roll arcane. You'll have to roll higher. Oh?
Four. Hear me out.
Okay,
faith.
I'm listening.
Faith.
I will give you faith because it is thematic for you to roll faith.
Okay.
Asking for a divine revelation on what this book is.
Hey, man.
Furia, tell me.
I'm doing my best.
Save me, Furia. Furia, save me. Save me, Furia.
I will also note that you're in Autoros's. Yes, Arcos? Yeah.
Yes.
So behind... these books, there's a table with a book. You notice a pool of actual water is covering the floor. So you can walk out on this tiny little platform. And then there is a pedestal with a kind of a gem that is glowing. And the same to you, Winnie, there is no floor. There is nothing outside of the little pedestal, outside of the little, like, what is it, outcropping peninsula, I guess, that you're standing on that leads to this book on a table. But there is simultaneously a floating pedestal with a tiny gem. And Magnus, yours actually does have a very solid rock floor that leads up to the pedestal with a gem.
Magnus is just looking around the inside of the stone building, and he's like, yes, the Stone Titan. Where everything's made of stone. Makes sense. I don't know what I was expecting, but makes perfect sense. Ordinary stone building.
Arcos, what did you roll?
Oh my. That is a 15.
The 15 in faith, when confronted with the unknown, you lean back on that which you do know, which is more familiar, or just as familiar as breathing at this point. And you think about the shadows and the light. And for something that exists at the interplay of light and shadow, water is a very good medium. The way it refracts, the way it bends, the manner of camouflage being entirely dependent on the direction you're looking, whether light or darkness is better or safe. And you look out at this glowing little gem. I say little, it's probably like roughly the size of a basketball, actually.
Oh, just a small gem. Tiny.
Yeah, it's out in the distance. It's not quite a gem. And it does look to be roughly the same kind of a shape of that core mass that's illustrated on the front of the book.
Cool.
Winnie, you critical failed trying to lift up a book cover.
My hand gets smashed under it.
I was too busy thinking of other things. I didn't even let the background of my mind figure out how this plays out.
Can I ask something? Can I ask a favor? I don't want to break it. No matter, like, you can do anything else. I don't want to have broken it.
Yeah, that's so valid. Okay. I'm not going to do that to you.
Okay.
Winnie can never use her hand again.
Oh, no, I meant the book. I don't care about my hand.
Oh, okay. I thought you just didn't want physical harm to Winnie.
No, I don't care if you hurt me. I don't want to hurt the book.
Oh, yeah. You aren't going to hurt the book, babe.
Okay. You barely lift it up. It's a critical fail. I just don't want to break anything.
I will say that you begin to start and lift part of the book, and it becomes too much. You hurt your hand, and it slams down loudly. And it makes Craig jump. And it's quiet for a minute. And then you can just sort of see this look they get, kind of looking off in the distance and saying, uh-oh. Magnus, are you doing anything interesting up in Arcratos' house? You see the small basketball-sized glowy thing on a pedestal. It looks small compared to the pedestal. It's a huge effing pedestal.
Yeah, I think Magnus is going to swim up to the giant gem rock thing. And he's going to reach out and touch it. He's going to touch the big rock.
No, don't touch it.
You reach out. You touch the rock. What do you think's gonna happen here?
That's a great question.
That tone sounds nuclear.
Magnus reaches out to touch the rock, and just before he touches it, he thinks back to the last time he made contact with a primordial being and getting hit by lightning and the headache that prepped him for that. And then he's just going to, like, turn to Julian and just say, like, maybe keep your distance on this one. And he's just going...
And he says, don't die.
And then he's going to put his hand on the rock. I think what he's, like, thinking is that... in his mind, like, it is clear that the problem started with Arcratos and Alemnos having some sort of conflict. And I think the root of that conflict is the root of our current problems as well. So I think he's just, like... trying to come into this of a mind of, like, understanding what happened between these two forces of nature.
Okay. You move up and you touch the rock. And... Arcos, are you doing anything right now?
I kind of want to touch the rock, but I don't know if this is a good idea. But you know what? We ball. I'm gonna touch the rock.
You're gonna go up to touch the rock.
People at home, Han just covered her face.
Yeah, Han, is Winnie doing anything?
Well, my hand may or may not be crushed in a book right now. So, like, you tell me what I can do.
Your hand did not get crushed in the book.
Okay. Great. I'm not going to touch what I think is the heart of the Titan right now, so I'm going to go up to it. I'm not going to touch it, though.
How do you not, though?
You go up to it, and three things happen simultaneously. Magnus, you touch this weird stone that may or may not be the heart of Titan. We haven't confirmed. It could be anything. And you feel, you already felt pretty weak all day. You have not gotten a rest. You are out of power points. You are running past empty. You're running on fumes.
Yes.
And you're not old. You're not as young as you used to be.
No spring chicken.
Yeah. Immediately upon touching this, your joints become so achy and painful. You feel like you slept wrong. You feel like you're constantly needing to stretch. You feel the pain that comes from a never-ending slow movement of continental drift, of rocks, of being worn down by the wind and the water and the rain in the fire, and you are constantly being worn down. It melds with every time someone asks you a dumb question, every time you find a dead end trying to figure out what's going on with Mortalia, every time you remember when you were first learning magic and a spell exploded in your face, and it's just one thing, no matter how much progress you make, there's always more to be done, and the entire weight of the world is you and is crushing every part of you under the weight of your own awareness. And Arcos, as you touch this stone, you feel in a similar vein what you do not know Magnus is feeling. The relentless, ever-present movement. There is no rest. There is always something hiding. You feel your difficulty trying to figure out what your god means. You feel the illusion and the deception and the life and the death and death and the death that begets more life, that begets more death, in this endless cycle light and dark and sunrise and sunset and waves pulling and pushing the tides over and over again. It is as beautiful as it is exhausting. And you're lost in that. Hannah, as Winnie goes up, looking at this thing that they're pretty certain is the heart of a Titan. You know better than to touch something, having experienced the full weight of a Titan moving through you. Maybe instinctively reach your hand out and hold it back just short. And then you feel and see the wall next to you shatter inward as the thud of your book alerted whatever creatures had started climbing out of that tunnel to your position. And as you stay there, Craig on the ground, looking worried, not as surprised, perhaps, as you, having caught it just a moment earlier. And both Magnus and Arcos transfixed on an object of power their brains cannot comprehend. I think that's where we end this episode.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released season 4, episode 33. And I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. Kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last, like, regular, like, story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode, as we always do, and then we're going to have a podcast, post-mortem, wrap-up, whatever. So, as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season 4 questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably going to, like, go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time, possibly. So, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Which also means this is gonna be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever, probably. So, yeah, I don't know. That's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that. But we'll get there. We'll catch up. And yeah, next week's gonna be the very last story episode, season 4 finale. And then I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are gonna happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy, and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're gonna try to squeeze them in eventually. We're gonna try to squeeze them in quick, but if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute. But they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So, yeah, that's it, I think. That's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because, I don't know, it's almost over. Yeah, thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.